Support for the Commodity Week podcast comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign with crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com. And by ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
This is the January 13 edition of Commodity Week. USDA has dumped the bean number and the trade is furious. The corn carryout only changed by 2 million bushels. We'll ask why today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Kevin Van Trump from the Van Trump Report and FarmDirection.com. Our panelists in studio include Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois, Greg Johnson of the Andersons from Champaign, Illinois, and Bill Mayer of Strategic Farm Marketing, also from Champaign, Illinois. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. It comes to you from public radio for the farming world. You can find us online anytime you'd like at our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find Commodity Week, our daily closing market report, the pre-opening and opening market reports, and everything in between. It's all about agriculture at willag.org. Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. The United States Department of Agriculture report was a bit like the winter weather that swept through the Midwest Thursday, which was shockingly bitter, I suppose, for some. Why did the trade expect so much change in the corn ending stocks number? Paul Cooley, as a reminder, USDA dropped it just 2 million bushels, but the average trade guess was 99 million bushels lower.
Well, it goes back to last fall when the old adage, small crops get smaller. The idea was that the government had a little trouble with their inventory management, they felt, and the bin space were empty. The corn and basis was extremely strong through harvest and continued on into the winter time frame. Also, you put in that equation the drought problems and the dry problems in Argentina and Brazil, and it's been unrelenting buying for the last 3 weeks in Chicago.
You usually give the United States Department of Agriculture a letter grade. You have one for this one?
I think they really tried. I think they really tried on this one. They've been taking a lot of verbal abuse by everybody. And I think they really tried to get their act together. They know there's major problems. I think with the large farm commercial grain storage operations and also the ethanol operations. And I think they tried to do their job.
Greg Johnson?
Well, whether we agree with the numbers or not, this is what we're stuck with for the next 3 months. We won't get another quarterly stocks report until March 31. In the meantime, we've got a whole bunch of potentially negative news out there as far as the USDA Ag Outlook Forum in February. A lot of private analysts are coming out with big, big corn acres projected, 93, 94, some even over 95 million acres. So if we have to take these numbers at face value, at least for the time being, and it just doesn't set us up for anything very bullish in the near future.
And Bill Mayer, why was it that the trade was expecting such a big change in the ending stocks number?
Well, I think Paul summed up the reasons why pretty well. I think another reason is people were looking out there at the cash markets and seeing the tight bases across the country and seeing some unusually tight bases even at the end of harvest. And I think that also entered into the picture. And when you look at the stocks number, the quarterly stocks number that the government came out with, they're showing the on-farm stocks up about 1% to 2% compared to a year ago. So, I guess that fits into the scenario maybe that the elevators, it's not that there's not corn out there, it's just that they're having trouble buying it maybe.
So here are some of the numbers as they came in, both from Chicago and the CME Group and from the United States Department of Agriculture. For corn, USDA now estimates the ending stocks at 846 million bushels. The December estimate was 848, but the average trade guess was 749. Soybeans, 275 million left. The average trade guess was 233, USDA at 230. So it increased the ending stocks by, 45 million bushels there. Soy complex, speaking of which, January contract this week had a high of $12.29 and a quarter, a low at $11.50, a settlement price down 29 and a half cents to settle at $11.60. And November beans at $11.70 were down 21 and a quarter. We'll come back to the corn in just a bit. But did the number for soybeans surprise you very much, Bill?
Well, really, I thought the soybean number was pretty much in line. And I think the market probably kind of reacted that way. I think today, on Friday, we had a pretty hard down day. Thursday, after the report, we took it down and brought it back pretty well. But I think today's market, and probably somewhat yesterday's market, was affected by as much some forecast for showers coming in next week in South America and the three-day weekend coming up here. The people didn't want to go into the, over the weekend without knowing, how much rain is actually going to come in there.
So now we have a number in Chicago for November beans at $11.70. They were down 21 and a quarter. The average market price for this current year at $10.70 to $12.70, and we need to look forward to next year's market for soybeans. Anything a producer ought to be doing at this time?
Well, one other big item was that it seems like we had a lot of soybeans available in the United States and also in South America. Brazil and Argentina had been selling a lot of beans to China, and when we talked to our grain company people and other grain people, they just said, maybe they've had a little more inventory, residual, so to speak, and also maybe the crop was a little bigger than they thought as well. Soybeans is a problem in the fact that with these rains that are coming in through South America and Brazil and more on the way, they're coming in at a time like July the 11th, 12th, 13th, in here July 13th. And it's plenty of time to take care of a late soybean plant with the rain in the forecast.
Are you of the same feeling and hearing the same things that the crop in South America, which we had heard a lot of trouble was happening with both corn and soybeans, has gotten enough rainfall to make it now?
Well, I don't think we're there yet. I think, as Paul said, it's mid-July, late July, comparable to our time. And mid-July for us this past summer, we were extremely worried, and the corn was hurt. But as it turns out, we got some rains in August in places, and the beans turned out better than expected. So, the next 3 weeks are going to be critical. I liken it to the scenario where you've been dry for 4 weeks, you get an inch of rain. If that's all you get, that's probably not going to be enough. But if they continue to get more rain, then this, the market probably is still a little too high priced. But the next 3 weeks probably will tell the tale for South America.
Thoughts on the bean market?
Yeah, I guess I would agree with Greg that we're not there yet on the South American crop. What happens over the next 3 to 4 weeks is really extremely important. Longer term, I guess I think a guy can get kind of excited about the bean crop or the bean prices. I think it's going to be kind of tough to get maybe the acres that we really need here in the United States this year. And if you start throwing in, a million acres less maybe on soybeans, things get pretty tight, assuming that you don't lose a bunch of demand because of, world economic problems.
Why do you think it will be tough to come up with the bean acres in the U.S.?
Well, I feel like we're in a situation here right now with the corn bean prices compared to each other, with the cash rent payments that are being paid out there and some of the land prices and that we've just got a lot of people that are locked in raising corn, I believe, across the country. And I think that it's going to be pretty tough to get bean acres. That's just kind of my opinion right now.
The amount of tillage that was done last fall tell you that in your mind, too?
Well, I think that's got something to do with it, yes.
Well, the arithmetic is clear. We're going to have more wheat. That's what the government said. And
right.
Also, I agree with him on the beans, the corn acreage, but there is a lot of bean acreage because we had such a preventive planting problem. And there is a lot of incentive.
We have a lot more acres
to play with.
Right, so we have a lot of acres altogether, period, right?
Right.
So we have prevented planted acres that haven't been in the ground. We have more conservation reserve acres that will come out of.
And the South American farmer is not sitting back. He's going to plant more acres, too.
All right. March corn futures this week, a high of $6.63, a low at $5.98.5. Settlement price there at $5.99.5, down 44 cents on the week. December corn at $5.55.25, finished 20 cents lower. Last week, I asked most of our traders whether on new crop corn, if they were a willing seller, most people said 15 cents higher. Now we're not 15 cents higher anymore. Mm-hmm. So are you still a willing seller, and has your goal lowered down from that 580 level that we talked about last week?
Well, I've been a bear in new crop acres because it was obvious that the acreage was going to be large. We don't have an ethanol program to help push and create a little extra demand and in the marketplace, competitive feed grain. So, yeah, I've been bearish. Now, your good question is, at 575 and above, I've been bearish. The big factor here is $7 calls that we've been selling. The major problem here is that I get lectures from people that said, you know, early selling the last 3 or 4 years hasn't been the smart thing to do. We also hear that argument about seasonality, but I think an early flat price seller this year is going to win the game.
Paul's clients are lecturing him, or your clients lecturing you?
They lecture me all the time, yeah.
Have you been a willing seller? Because I don't talk to you in the mornings.
We made some catch-up sales, you know, last week, some reluctantly. Sometimes, in some cases, we use some puts just to get something under the market before the report. I guess here's kind of where I come down. If you look at the 2 years that we had the limit down moves on the day of the January report, which is 08 and 09, we pretty much moved sideways a little bit higher as we went through the next 2.5-3 months. That's where I kind of see us being in this corn market right now. So I think you got to be real aggressive when you get opportunities, you know, back up in that 580, maybe 590 area. But I think it's going to be pretty easy to make sales at 555 December futures. And at this point in time, we don't need to be overly aggressive on that.
Let's come back to old crop and talk to you just a bit, Greg, about what you think is in the countryside in the draw region for the Andersons at this point. And then maybe if you have an idea of what might be out there across the Midwest and whether farmers have been as quick to sell as they have in previous years.
We've had some marketing meetings put on, and our risk management group has been traveling the country putting on these meetings, and they generally do a show of hands across these meetings and asking what percentage of grain, old crop, do they have sold. And a lot of the answers, almost universally, came back 25 to 40% was all that the farmers had sold on old crop corn. Now, this has been about a month ago. So hopefully people took advantage of this 75-cent rally over the last month, of which we've now given back 50 cents. But, you know, the general impression was that farmers were not half sold, and I would have bet the other way. I really thought farmers were, you know, half sold, maybe even two-thirds sold on old crop corn. But maybe that's just a local thing. You know, if that's the case, then there's a lot of catch-up sales that still need to be made.
You got a pulse on this one?
I think he hit a nerve there in the fact that if you haven't sold the old crop, you're not out there selling new crop very aggressively. And, you know, the old deal of you concentrate, and I got lectured, too, from customers, I'm trouble in old crop. Why do I go out the new crop? And, you know, I heard that lecture. But the big factor here is that we are in a different economic environment. And a person has to realize that and not be bashful about being a bear on those big rallies.
What do you mean different economic environment?
What's well, different? I think we have a lot of competitive feed grains in the world, and we have a lot of competitive oil seeds. The big factor here is we're not going to see a big growth in the ethanol area, and we have a lot of competitive feed grains, and the whole world has become production agriculture, and that's going to haunt us here in the years to come.
Before we get into the second half of the program, can you take just a minute and talk about crop insurance, because your company does sell crop insurance, and what kinds of things producers need to be thinking about at this point?
Well, the crop insurance is really pretty exciting this year because you have a couple of things going on. One is what's called trend-adjusted APH, which allows the farmer to, and thanks to some people's work here at the U of I, actually, allows the farmer to get coverage more realistic with what he's trying to raise out here.
Should adjust yields by about 11 bushels.
If a guy has a 10-year history, it should be in certain counties. Depends on the county. Each county is different. But, yeah, that's kind of a good rough number there. Yeah,
so there's the trend-adjusted yield, and also they did some reevaluation, too.
Yeah, and they've, in some cases, reduced premiums, because especially in the state of Illinois, probably you're listing Illinois and Indiana. Premiums will probably be a little bit lower, actually.
Yeah, maybe by 9%. So thanks so much. We'll talk with Kevin Van Trump in just a couple of minutes here on Commodity Week. This is the January 13 edition of Commodity Week. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. You can find us online at WILLAG.org. That's willag.org. It's Illinois Public Media, Public Radio for the farming world. Our panelists in studio today include Greg Johnson of the Andersons, Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing, and Paul Cooley at ADM Investor Services. On the phone line, Kevin Van Trump today with the Van Trump Report and FarmDirection.com out of Kansas City, Missouri. Thanks so much, Kevin, for taking the time with us. Why don't you tell us first, since you haven't been on this program before, a little bit about yourself and your business there.
Yeah, Todd, thanks for having me today. What we've done here at Farm Direction is, several years back, we tried to kind of start putting together some pieces that would help producers and some of the folks in the industry as money flow started pouring into the grains. We started to find a need or desire that people were wanting to understand really how the game has changed from a marketing perspective and how it was going to change the structure of our environment and what the money flow was going to do in particular to this situation. So I kind of branched off. I was writing a proprietary letter for some banks back east when I was in Chicago, and I kind of switched gears and went over here back to my roots. I'm from down here in Kansas City, a small rural community about 30 miles south of Kansas City, and grew up on the farm, and I've kind of shifted from the hedge fund side back over to trying to make the complex, I guess, simple for the producers and some of the other folks in the industry, and trying to explain kind of a macro view of what's taking place as far as with the funds and how that's affecting our business, and more importantly, how it's affecting the prices. So that's really what we do. We put out a daily newsletter called the Van Trump Report, and then we also have a team of, I like to call them guys that sit on my board of directors that I personally have worked with in the past at the Chicago Board of Trade or Kansas City Board of Trade, the Merck, some of those places, and some guys within the industry as fertilizer people, seed people, and just some folks that really keep me abreast of what's happening out in the agricultural world. So, and we try and bring that to everyone on a daily basis. So,
have you ever heard of WILL AM 580 out in Kansas City?
I have right now.
Great.
You bet.
He hears a WIBW 580
out there. Okay, yeah, there it is.
Yeah, that's the one.
Well, Kevin, thanks for taking time to be here. Of course, we had this report. Take a deep breath and give us your quick opinion.
Well, you know, I think most of the folks and everyone that I was talking to, a lot of the bigger traders in the business, a lot of guys were hoping this darn thing was going to be bullish as could be, as they were wanting to load up on the short side. Didn't happen. A lot of guys were flat, as I kind of put out in my report. It's the first time in a long time I've seen some of the big hitters on the spec side and on the fund side that tried to go into the darn report flat, and they were hoping for a bullish report. It didn't happen, so it's really changed the landscape a lot. I was in Chicago in December at a big fund type event. There were a lot of bigger traders there, and everyone was really bearish. I mean, bearish as could be. I came back home, and I had to tell some of the producers. I mean, there's guys throwing around $9 bean numbers and $4 corn numbers, and it's just it was a pretty bleak outlook. South American weather kind of took off, and it started to turn the tides a little bit, and I think more than anything, as of late, the outside markets have kind of turned around here. You know, everyone was really really bulled up on the dollar. I think we're still bulled up on the dollar for this year. I think there's going to be some There's going to be some, you know, bullish implications for the U.S. dollar, and how that affects a risk-off type environment is going to be looked at pretty heavily. The USDA report, in my opinion, it sets the stage for possibly a little bit more bullish scenario. If the USDA would have come out with the bullish report like everyone is anticipating, lowering the yields, you know, the John McIntosh type numbers and things that were being thrown out, you know, we would have probably handcuffed the USDA, and the only place they could have gone from there would be higher. So right now, there's some guys talking and some big hitters that were, you know, we were talking 300 plus carry and beans, and now they're talking maybe 230. We could see that number come down to here in the future. So I'm hearing some talk just in the last day or two that cash beans have really tightened up. There's talk and whispers that there's going to be some interest here in the next month to 2 months from China, as they try and you know, one of their biggest fears is food security, and there's some talk that that could be an issue. We're getting some other interesting talk from South America. I'm like most of the panelists. I'm just like, boy, it's awful early to be getting this ramped up here. But as you guys know, the funds and some of the big money flow don't tend to think traditionally, so they like to jump the trades a little early. There's some talk that this darn bean thing could get a little more severe than we originally anticipated. With that being said, I think you've got some guys throwing around numbers right now. The USDA came out here, and you know, we were at 50.5 in Argentina, and what, we're at 74 million metric tons. They shaved a million off of Brazil. I was talking to some guys that are thinking those numbers could be more like 70 in Brazil, and possibly even pushed into that 65 area. And there's talk that you could see Argentina go to 45. I think it's a little outlandish, but, you know, anymore, it's not what we're doing on our end. It's what the funds are doing and the type of money they want to throw at this darn thing. So if you're talking 15 more million metric tons lower in beans, that's a significant issue. And, you know, we were bearish. We were locking in some floors and telling some guys that they were going to be borderline break-even here probably, I don't know, four weeks ago, 5 weeks ago. Now we're throttling back on that thought a little bit. So that's really where I'm at with the USDA report. I think it opens up the door for possibly a little bit more bullish scenario here moving forward. So,
okay, Kevin, with the hedge funds basically lightening up, and you said you anticipate a stronger dollar in the year ahead. Is that negative commodities as far as the hedge funds are concerned, or do you see them developing some kind of a risk, appetite for risk as we go into this year?
Yeah, at first blush it is, and I've kind of told some folks along the way, I'm a little bit apprehensive because what we're seeing take place over in Europe, you know, this afternoon just here, we got the cuts from Standard & Poor's. They cut France by one notch, they cut Italy and Spain by two notches. The market was kind of anticipating that. It's a little bit, it'll rock the boat a little bit, but more than anything, it's all about money flow. And if you see the French banks start to cut back and start to reel in some of the capital that they're lending to some of these bigger risk manager players, they're going to have to cut their positions and throttle back a little bit. That's a little fearful because they're going to have to ease back on their positions all the way across the board. And, you know, with a stronger U.S. dollar, definitely it sets the tone that you're going to have a more bearish environment. There's also some talk that, and I like to tell guys this, no one wants to miss this next stock market rally. So if you see money flow or if you see some type of reallocation of funds at some of these bigger banks and they take the money off of the riskier assets like commodities, and they push it back into the stock market, that's not what we want to see as well. So we got to remember, just like some of your panelists said, that I think I heard it earlier today, that, you know, maybe those highs where we got to closer to $8, you know, we had all the stars aligned and the funds were behind us hot and heavy, and it takes that kind of buying pressure to get to those levels. And I'm not sure that's going to come back right away. There's still a lot of things out there right now that they're looking at.
When you just look at the general global economy, where are we at on that, do you feel like, Kevin? Are we still on, you know, are we still declining, still on the downhill side?
Well,
or have we hit bottom and maybe starting to go the other way?
Well, that's just it. You know, like I said, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I thought it was, we were looking, we were not looking so well, and I thought, you know, this was going to be a setup for some type of risk off, and I thought the dollar was really going to run here. And as we've moved forward, you know, the press has kind of backed off the Europe deal, and the trade seems to be more adjusted to the headlines coming across from Europe. We're seeing China inflation's dropped 5 straight months. We're down to, you know, one of the lowest numbers that we've seen here in a while. And it looks as if China, they're telling me today that they're going to cut ahead of their new year, which is, you know, coming up on the 23rd. So With a rate cut there, that's going to be more of a risk-on type play. And, I think it's starting to ease some minds a little bit, and you're seeing a little bit more interest. You've seen copper take back off, some of the leading indicators that would lead you to believe that commodities may become more in favor than a lot of us were thinking here a month ago. So that's why I've backed off. I was bearish, and I've become more bullish. I think there's some more interest from these funds than we're giving them credit right now.
How bullish might you be, and can you be pretty short on that one?
Yeah, I just think, I think I think if I had to rank the markets, I'd be the most bullish beans right now. I think there's the best story there. I'd be, and that's mildly bullish. I'd be bullish corn to just a small degree, thinking there's some value maybe down around a 560, 575 area. And then I would probably be the least bullish wheat just because of global supplies.
Kevin, thanks so much.
You bet.
Kevin Van Tromp is with the Van Tromp Report. That's a daily. And, of course, with farmdirection.com, you can find them on their website. Our panelists in studio today include Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services, and we'll get a final word from them. Paul?
Vermilion County, Illinois Farm Bureau meeting January 16th at 9:30. It's out free to the public.
All right, and you can go see Paul there. Greg Johnson is with the Andersons.
This USDA report has changed the landscape for old crop corn. Barring weather problems this summer, you're going to have to hold on to old crop corn an awful long time to get a rally. So any small rallies over $6 need to be rewarded.
And Bill Mayer.
We're seeing on the old crop cash corn some stronger bases with the market being down the last 2 days here. I think take advantage of that if you really have to go out here and get some stuff moved and come back in with some kind of a position on the board to cover that back.
Our thanks to Bill Mayer. He's with Strategic Farm Marketing, and Greg Johnson at the Andersons, Paul Cooley from ADM Investor Services. That wraps up this edition of Commodity Week. You can always pick it up again online if you'd like at willag.org. That's willag.org. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm UofI Extension's Todd Gleason. You have a great week.